skyward, like a never-ending mushroom cloud, stretching toward the Pacific Ocean and carried by the jet stream across the United States and beyond. The deaths around the country were not quite as dramatic as the way those nearest Yellowstone had perished. People and animals literally began to choke to death on the extremely fine particles of ash that overcame them. As the eruption launched the particles of ash and poisonous gas into the stratosphere, the volcanic cloud began to circle the Earth. It systematically dispersed sulfur dioxide, 100 million tons of it, which combined with moisture in the atmosphere to form a fine aerosol mist of sulfuric acid. As the sulfuric acid dropped lower into the Earth's atmosphere, it created the greatest environmental disaster known to man. Not only did it poison those living beings that breathed it, but it led to greater cloud cover around the globe, further impeding sunlight, which was already blocked by the volcanic cloud. The immediate effect on the global climate was profound. Temperatures were lowered by 5 degrees almost immediately, with an even greater decrease along the northern latitudes. Scientists only had to look at history to predict what was in store for the planet. After the VEI 7 eruption of Mount Tambora in 1815, unseasonable cold killed livestock and crops around the world. The following year, the world experienced the year without a summer. In the United States, every morning was covered in frost. Wheat, corn, and hay crops failed. Without feed for livestock, coupled with the poisonous effect of the volcanic matter, the country's meat supply disappeared. America had faced these challenges and more. At the time of the Tambora eruption, the population of America was 7 million. The population at the time of this Yellowstone eruption was 320 million. America was a nation that relied upon technology and transportation. She was ill-equipped to deal with a catastrophic event of this magnitude. And, at the time, it was a nation on edge, wrought with political divisiveness and class warfare. The mindset of the population was not like the early 1800s when neighbor helped neighbor and one wouldn't hesitate to lend a hand to a stranger. It was a time of self-interest in which the takers outnumbered the makers. It was an era in which many lived with a sense of entitlement and a belief that the government should be there to take care of them in their time of need. On day 7 of the Yellowstone supereruption, Americans were in for a rude awakening as the ash fallout spread far and wide. Part 1. Welcome to the Madhouse. Chapter 1. The Madhouse, near Maple Creek, California. Nobody move a muscle. Now that Jake Wheeler had killed, it would have been easier to pull the trigger and shoot the two strangers in the kitchen of the madhouse. But he was experienced now, having lived through a full-on assault by men who had nefarious intent. In less than 2 seconds, he'd conducted a quick threat assessment. The two guys who stood with their backs to him were unarmed and well-dressed. Plus, oddly, they were unpacking boxes rather than loading up his family's belongings. In a world in which shoot first and ask questions later would become the norm, Jake's instincts told him these two deserved the opportunity to explain. They quickly spun around, but reacting in a fearful, not antagonistic way.
Wait! Don't shoot! Your mother sent us!
Jake stepped forward, his eyes scanning the entrances to the kitchen and back to the hallway behind him.
Keep talking, he growled.
One of the men pointed toward the kitchen table, where several pieces of paper were stapled together.
Your mother emailed me and asked for my assistance.
Jake moved toward the table, and without lowering his rifle, he glanced at the email sent from his mother to Joe Barnett. The other man, who was visibly nervous, spoke up. He spoke uncharacteristically fast.
I'm Joe Barnett from Maple Creek. Your parents hired me years ago to look after this place. She sent that email to me yesterday. There's also a personal note for you.
Jake began to relax. He brought his rifle to low ready and exhaled,